Welcome to Gun and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program, I would like to give a short primer on the meaning of social justice, because what many people think it means and what it really means are two different things. I spoke about this subject 3 weeks ago in my review of the recent evangelical statement critical of the social justice movement. I also discussed this topic in my two-part series on critical theory in July, but there are some loose ends that I want to cover. I'm always learning, I'm always discovering new insights into age-old errors, and seeing new and better ways to share God's truth. Particularly in regard to social justice, visualize in your mind two foundations. The one labeled biblical justice, the other labeled social justice. Biblical justice and social justice are not the same thing. They are built on two different moral foundations for ethics. And upon these two opposing foundations, people construct two opposing social, moral, economic systems. Communism, paganism, immorality cannot rest on the foundation of biblical justice, but it is supported and encouraged very well on the foundation of social justice. President Calvin Coolidge once said, "The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." Well, that's what's happening in America today. Because the teachings of the Bible are no longer universal in our country, the foundations of our society are crumbling. And so also the laws and the morals built upon that foundation. This is why America is fundamentally changing. And to change America into the leftist vision, the ungodly must change the foundations for law and justice. And this is the ideological change in the social justice movement, where social justice is the new rule of law, not biblical justice. Now, the ungodly will always do what the ungodly do. But what is really alarming is hearing the rhetoric of social justice being promoted in some Christian circles, on certain Christian college campuses, in certain Christian periodicals. This is coming from two groups. First, those who know exactly what social justice means and they love it because, as it says in the book of Jude, they are worldly-minded, void of the Spirit. And the second group would be true Christians who are fooled by the social justice rhetoric, mistaking it for a Christian movement. And it's this group that I believe my discussion here will help the most. The Christian college student, or even the professor, hears the term social justice and thinks, justice is good. After all, the Bible is all about promoting justice. Zechariah 7:9, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother. Amos 5:15, hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. Amos 5:24, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for not promoting justice. Matthew 23:23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. So the word justice sounds like a good and godly endeavor. Then additionally, this word justice is prefaced with the word social. And the Christian may think that certainly churches need to be more engaged in promoting justice in the society. Too often Christians retreat behind the walls of their churches and fail to take the application of the word of God into the streets. Isaiah 58, is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? But is this the meaning of the contemporary social justice movement? As if the world has rediscovered biblical justice and the church is late to the party. No, the current social justice movement means something totally different than the biblical definition of justice and society. So please don't be naive. The enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ have had a long history of using biblical terms to deceive the unsuspecting. Romans 16:18. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. So what is the current meaning of social justice? Well, to define it, we don't need to go to some deep academic work. Let's just look at the popular Wikipedia definition. Social justice is a concept of fair and just relations between the individual and society. This is measured by the explicit and tacit terms for the redistribution of wealth, opportunities for personal activity, and social privileges. Notice in this definition is the redistribution of wealth. The social justice movement has its roots in neo-Marxist critical theory that in order for there to be justice, economic and social disparities must be eliminated. The foundation of social justice is equality. Now, that might sound good at first. I mean, we all want equality and the Declaration of Independence states that all men are created equal. But is equality the true basis for justice? Think about this. If equality is the basis for justice, wouldn't we run into some problems, some injustices? I mean, what about the criminal, the immoral man, the lazy man? Does justice mean they must be given parity with everyone else? I mean, there's a whole class of people who would love for society to be forced to approve and support their economic and moral irresponsibility. They would love for the state to make the outcomes of the ungodly equal to the outcomes of the godly. So here are these two moral foundations. On the one hand, we have biblical justice, justice as it has been historically defined in Western culture, that justice is based on the law of nature and nature's God, those eternal standards of God that are revealed in our conscience, in nature, and in special revelation, the Bible. In Western thought, these laws of God have been expressed positively in terms of human rights. Thou shalt not kill implies a God-given right to life. Thou shalt not steal implies a God-given right to property, a right to be free from slavery. And these human rights come from God, so that the state is subject to the higher law of God. But social justice is not built upon the foundation of God's law, but on the foundation of parity or equity. What is right or wrong depends on whether people are equal. That I have to have the same stuff, the same status, the same opportunity, the same outcome as you, otherwise things are unfair, or rather unjust. And if creating parity or equality violates human rights, which inevitably it does, that's okay. Because for these people, justice is about equality. Justice is about eliminating disparities between groups in society, regardless of individual property rights or religious liberty or even the right to life. As one blogger I recently read aptly said, "This is why Planned Parenthood describes themselves as a social justice organization rather than a human rights organization. Because for them, justice is based upon a woman's right to equality, not the right to life. And abortion, the elimination of an unwanted baby, is what we get when ethics are built on parity, not on the law of God." So consider two individuals. One person who is thinking in terms of biblical justice may have less stuff than another and think, Well, that's fine, because other people have the right to the labor of their own hands. But the person who thinks in terms of justice as equality will assume that having less stuff is unfair. He will assume that he is being treated unfairly by society, that society owes him an equal portion of everything, for that is justice. And the reason he has less must be the fault of the society making him socially disadvantaged by not giving him an education, or not giving him good parents, or not giving him good motivations and good skills. Other people in society are considered the oppressors, and he considers himself the oppressed. And for this person, there is no accounting for different callings, different gifts, or different moral choices. Personal responsibility is marginalized. You say, well, how is it that people think this way? Well, because they have their brains fixated on the idea that justice is based upon equality. And the person who believes justice is based on the moral law of God and the person who thinks justice is based on parity talk past each other. They don't understand each other because they're unaware that their moral opinions are built on two entirely different foundations. It's like they're both coming from two different universes. Well, here's a question. Doesn't biblical justice sometimes require equality? Some will claim that equality is biblical justice. And so this is where people get confused. But the equality spoken of in the Bible applies only to the equal application of the law of God. Everyone is granted human rights. But equality is not the foundation of justice. It's only the application of justice. The law of God states in Leviticus 19:15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. Deuteronomy 1:17, you shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. The equality or the parity that the law of God is referring to is the equal application of the law. Biblical justice is not requiring the state to force equal social and economic outcomes. In fact, when biblical justice and human rights are placed first as the foundation, this will always mean that some people are left unequal. The criminal is not left equal with the righteous man. The lazy man is not left equal with the diligent man. And in God's world, inequality is a necessary condition or outcome. So the people are held accountable for their actions. The righteous are not to be equal with the wicked. The diligent are not to be equal with the indolent. Now, of course, we should take care of the poor and the weak, but that is not a matter of justice. That is a matter of mercy, something that belongs to a whole different foundation. Justice is something you have a right to. Mercy is something you receive by grace. And if we confuse these two concepts, then mercy and charity become something that we're owed, something that we can take from others by a right. Now, of course, we should be compassionate and merciful to the poor, but taking the labor of others is not mercy, and it's not justice. It is injustice. So recognize the difference between mercy and justice, and also recognize the vast difference between individual justice and this new label, social justice. Now, historically, plain old justice has always emphasized the individual, because human rights are all about defending the rights of the individual against the state or the mob. Because it's the mob that always wants to take away people's right to life, liberty, and property. So justice always defends the individual against the social. And notice that in the Bible, the emphasis in every passage about justice refers to the singular individual. As in Revelation 23, they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Judgment is individual. In fact, in a legal sense, there can really be no such thing as social justice, because the society doesn't have a right to anything. Only the individuals that make up the society have the rights. Friedrich Hayek, the economic philosopher who wrote The Road to Serfdom, also wrote a little book called The Mirage of Social Justice. He wrote this 45 years ago. People were already aware of the errors of social justice when it first appeared. But Hayek writes, while an equality of rights under a limited government is possible and an essential condition of individual freedom, a claim for equality of material possessions can be met only by a government with totalitarian powers, taking away individual rights. Hayek goes on to explain that human justice can only judge the acts of individuals, not the entire society or groups within the society. Any authority that judges an entire group for their crimes, rather than the individuals who actually do the crimes, will, by their prejudice, punish the innocent, violating individual rights. So social justice always violates individual rights. The two cannot coexist. So let me give you a pop culture example of what social justice looks like. In the Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises, Bane takes over Gotham, and trials are conducted against the business leaders and those in government who have followed the traditional rules of law. But now in Bane's government, one is guilty until proven innocent, because guilt does not come about by breaking God's law, but by being successful, by doing better than others. You're guilty because you make other people feel inferior. So the movie shows the courts declaring the prosperous guilty for playing by the rules of biblical justice. And this actually happened in reality during the French Revolution. People were guilty merely because they were part of the higher class. The same was true also in the Russian Revolution. If you're part of the bourgeois, you were guilty. You might say, well, that's just crazy. Nobody thinks about justice in these terms, in terms of equality. Well, how naive we are. The proponents of social justice actually want justice built on a foundation other than human rights. Neo-Marxist philosophers actually reject human rights as a basis for justice. Justice is to be understood in terms of the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges, not in terms of God's law concerning property rights, accountability, and responsibility. So now when you hear the social justice crowd speak of justice, I hope you understand that they are thinking on an entirely different foundation. I mean, even Christian ministers, seminar speakers, professors, and writers are duped by social justice lingo. Now let's go deeper. What is this new foundation of justice really all about? Why does the secular mind want to go over to this new basis for justice? Well, it all began with Satan, when he said, I shall be equal with God. Isaiah 14:14, it is not fair that I am unequal. Now, someone at this point would say, come on, Pastor Brad, you can't equate the social justice movement with Satan. Well, not only do I claim social justice is satanic in origin, but if you don't understand this, you're really uninformed as to the battle of this age and the real issues of life. Satan's claim was his authority, his will, his reality, his morals should be equal to God's law. And this is the principle of Satan's kingdom on earth. Satan rejects God's authority and law, and in order to do that, he has to justify his morality by creating a different foundation for morality. And that foundation is equality and parity. That the righteous and the unrighteous should be equal, that darkness should be equal to light. And what is driving the social justice movement is bitterness against God over two things. God's system of accountability, that people are to be held accountable for their actions, what you sow, you reap, that the righteous are rewarded and the unrighteous are punished, And second, bitterness over different callings from God. The different roles of the husband and the wife, the child and the parent, the magistrate and the citizen, different roles for genders. And this is why there's intersectionality between the party of Marxist economic socialism and the LGBT movement, and the feminist movement, and the child rights movement, and every other leftist movement. The social justice movement is rooted in bitterness over God's system of accountability and individual calling. The ungodly want a new system where roles and accountability are erased, where people are equal morally and they are blessed equally. This is not about helping the poor, as much as it is a rebellion against God's justice. They want equal outcomes and equal roles to be forced by government as they get the government convinced to establish this new basis for justice on the foundation of equality. So that the adulterer, the homosexual, the transgender can have the same social outcomes as the moral man. So that the man who produces nothing but liberal philosophy can make the same income as the man who provides needful goods and services. So that the profligate man can have the same as the diligent man. And this is what the cry, "I want to be equal with you," is all about. In Isaiah chapter 58, God's people are called to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Now understand in that text that the prophet is speaking about breaking evil yokes and evil oppression. But there are good yokes, and there is good oppression. The criminal should be oppressed, for it's the job of the state to be an avenger who brings wrath on the one who works evil. But which yoke does the social justice movement propose to break? Well, they want to break free from biblical justice by claiming that justice based upon equality is a better state of affairs. This is the state of affairs that man and Satan would rather have, where man is equal to God, or where man even supplants God. This is Psalm chapter 2. Kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." And this is the goal of secular humanism. And this is at the core of man's rebellion against God. And any society that bases justice on equality rather than the law of God is on the pathway to Sodom. Well, this is a good ending point. A few more words to say about how people who want a foundation of social justice are persecuting those who are living on the foundation of biblical justice, particularly by calling them racists. But I'll have to add that part of the discussion to my extended version of this program on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. You may want to check that out. Go to YouTube and type in God and Country Biblical Exposition, and there you'll find at least 50 videos on various subjects. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to contact me is godandcountryradio.org. Feel free to email me questions, comments, insights. I always love to hear from the listeners. And again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to be a discerning people, not for the sake of wisdom alone, but so that we can communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly to the lost, so that they would know what they are to repent of and what they are to believe in. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.